Well, happy Father's Day, church. If you would, please open your Bibles with me in the book of Ephesians this morning, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, as I just simply kind of expound to you something that the Lord has laid on my heart that I'm calling the dad God desires you to be. Ephesians 6:4 is this beautiful diamond verse that is brief but powerful. And frankly, in studying contextually where we are right now as a country, it couldn't come at a more opportune time. Did you realize that right now, the average American child watches 4.5 hours of TV a day? Kids 8 through 13 in their age average 43 hours a week on social media. Teenagers, it's 60 plus hours a week. The typical American child spends right at, are you ready for this? 25 minutes a week in one-on-one time with their dad. I mean, you wonder why our country is the way it is. You wonder why you're seeing what you're seeing. You wonder why you have the reactions and the polarizing responses to content. The average child spends 25 minutes a week in one-on-one time with their dad. Currently, right now in America, 1 in 3 children are raised apart from their biological father. 80% of African Americans, 60% of Hispanics, 50% of all white children are raised apart from their biological father. Fathers outside of God's intended design and thus blessing. Dads, do you have any idea how big a deal you are? Do you have any idea the central role that you play in God's most important institution, the home? Paul, knowing this through the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to a church at Ephesus that wasn't immune, by the way, to the polarization of content. That wasn't immune from society impacting and influencing every aspect of their lives. And so this brief but powerful verse, he displays to us what a spirit-filled life and thus a spirit-filled home looks like. That those who are under the lordship of Jesus are to be characterized as humble and submissive and obedient in the relationships to God and to one another. And it is that foundation, collaboratively and individually, that sets a household. Husbands, you are to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Children, you are to honor and to obey your parents. And now, in an inclination, in my opinion, specifically to dads, ultimately to parents, and individually to each and every one of us, God gives two commands that can change your life. One simple verse. Don't do these things. Don't provoke your children to anger. Do this. Bring them up in the instruction and the discipline of the Lord. And be who you are. Be the dad God desires you to be. This is going to be a little humbling this morning. May it be overwhelmingly challenging and inspiring and encouraging. Be the dad God desires you to be. With that in mind, let's study in depthly this morning just one verse, Ephesians 6:4. And your Bible says this. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, Paul, in this household code that began in Ephesians 5:18 and runs all the way through Ephesians 9, speaks here of an ongoing pattern of action, and he gives two commands to dads. Do not provoke your children to anger. Don't do it. Stop it. Don't ever do it again to the best of your abilities in Christ. Do bring them up then in two primary things, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now the word father there in verse 4 is fascinating. It can refer to both parents. Contextually, it has been translated parents in Hebrews 11 verse 23. However, the primary target is dads. They were the ones in Asia Minor that were the ultimate authority in the home. They were the ones in charge in the Bible to educate and instruct their children. And so Paul's speaking overwhelmingly to dads. He says, do not provoke your children to anger. And this was in complete antithesis to culture and society. Asia Minor was overwhelmed philosophically by the Greeks, militarily by the Romans. And the fathers in Greece were notorious for abandoning their children, placing them in a trash heap, or leaving them to a life of slavery or prostitution. Furthermore, in Asia Minor, there was a Roman law of Praetoria Potestas in Ephesus, specifically the law of the father's power that gave each dad a unilateral and unlimited power over all aspects of their households. At birth, a child was brought before his father's feet. If he picked up the child lived. If he did not, the child died by law. The law gave fathers the power to imprison, to sell, or even kill their children at any time in their lives. In complete and utter drastic contrast to an ancient world, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, commands dads to do two things. He says, do not provoke your child to anger. Instead, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The first command is negative. Don't do this. Never do this again. Do not provoke. This word provoke here is incredibly powerful. It's only used twice in the entire New Testament. It is used here in Colossians 3, verse 21. It can mean to exasperate or to irritate. Dads, do not irritate your children to anger. He is emphasizing here that a spirit-filled dad must continually be on guard, not to parent with unbiblical patterns or unsettled priorities that drive their kids to lose respect and despise authorities. And contextually, that can be seen in about four things here. We are not to provoke our children to anger in the following ways. Number one, by being overprotective. We are to remind ourselves specifically that a child's mind and life is to be shaped by God's word, is to be guided by God's spirit, not manipulated or controlled by us. Put your kids in a park, not a box.
And maybe, you know, since it's 90-something degrees today in Oklahoma, maybe you know, put them in a pool.
You know, a pool has set boundaries. It has clear markers. You have areas of blessing and areas of danger. Stay out of the deep end. Stay away from this specific area. You have all of this to play and to enjoy. And parents, your home should be the same way. Clear boundaries and instructions. If you disobey, this is what happens. Not good. The Lord won't bless that. But if you do obey, there is blessing. When you repent, praise the Lord. When you ask forgiveness, praise the Lord. But if you continually to do an action that is not becoming of the Lord or is not respectable in this house, that is not going to fly. But yet sometimes if we're not careful, we'll literally protect our kids from the very blessing that God has for them. We will overimpose from God's word our law. And in light of that, you and I have to remind ourselves that God is growing your children, not just for our joy, but rather for his glory. And so we've got to remind ourselves over and over and over again to parent with the end in mind. We are preparing them to see Jesus. So in light of that, Paul says, do not provoke your children to anger. Don't be overprotective. Secondly, constantly finding fault. A child must be allowed to fail gracefully, corrected gently, and learn godliness daily. I mean, think about this. What better place in the world for them to fail than in your home? What better environment for them to try things, for them to grow and experience and to learn and to be challenged, but ultimately to be encouraged, to understand that all of life is a process of step by step by step of becoming more, not like the world, but by Jesus. So in light of that, is our content edifying? Is it full, yes, of truth, but grace as well? They're going to fail. It is our responsibility to help and remind them when they fail and fall to get up. Look up. Keep running. Keep heading towards the Lord. And that correction must be gentle and graceful as they are learning godliness over and over and over again. ineffective and frustrated parents have freedom with no law and law with no freedom. May we be careful not to overimpose, not to use words that cripple the very walk that we are trying to foster in and of our kids as they run for Jesus. Thirdly, we got to remind ourselves of unrealistic or unreasonable expectations. I can't help but wonder, are we more diligent in preparing our kids for Harvard than we are heaven? We have to remind ourselves with all fervency that a child must be all that God desires, nothing less and nothing more. May we have expectations that are driven by the Word of God and not by the words of men. So they will look like Jesus, not so the world will look at us and say, wow, that's a dad or that's a man that I want to be more like. We must remind ourselves of the end of life, and thus the object of life, is to be more and more like a king whose name is Jesus Christ. And all of life is about telling and building and bringing people to his kingdom and not our own. Do not provoke or irritate, exasperate your children to anger by finally having a lack of encouragement. You know, church, if we're not careful, name-calling and berating may be a common rhetoric or content in your home. Can I just tell you, in Christ, that is the complete opposite of God's will. That is not God's plan for you. That is not a house that he will bless. Instead, that is not a reflection of your kids. It's a reflection of what the work of the Lord is doing in you. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Your mouth is the one saying these things. So instead, intentionally pause sometime, eat some chocolate, pray, and then speak. And make sure your words are seasoned with salt. Make sure that you are fostering an environment that the Bible is overflowed, saturated in almost everything you're doing to the best of your ability, that you are physically allowing the affirmation and goodness of the Lord, hugs, handshakes, high fives, rewarding obedience and celebrating. In fact, let me give you the 10-to-1 rule. There will be times of correction in your household. There should. That is one of the primary reasons why you're there. In light of that, may your balance always be in God's alignment. And it's not one for one, one blessing and one encouragement. It's rather, for every correction that you use, have 10 blessings, have 10 encouragement. Great job. Awesome. Fantastic. Boom. That's what I'm talking about. For every correction that you have in your household, your words matter. Your words have the potential to lift your kids up or to cripple them. Dads are to be builders, not destroyers. Children will follow and imitate what they see more than what they hear. In fact, I found this incredible article this week from a Harvard sociologist who for 10 years studied 5- and 6-year-olds. Any of you have 5- and 6-year-olds here? Kids, grandkids? Good luck with that, right? Okay, fed plenty of them. In light of that, the sociologist found that there were common traits, 4, that in children that were blessed, that excelled and succeeded, had over those who were delinquent and struggled. You want to know what they were? Number one, they demonstrated affection to their children. They had parents or whoever was leading the home, they were demonstrative in their affection. Hugs, kisses, fist pounds. There was a constant interaction physically that was affirming. Secondly, there was clear and consistent discipline and standards. If you do these things, blessing comes. If you do these things, judgment comes. They're simple, they're consistent, they're blessed. Thirdly, there was a right example. That the right path was not just spoken, it was shown and detailed. Fourthly, you ready for this? That the father actively led and participated
in the home.
If children do not receive positive affirmation, they will seek out negative attention. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Be the dad God desires you to be. Don't do these things. Stop doing these things. Don't ever, by the power of the Holy Spirit, even think of these things again. Okay, well, then what are we supposed to do? Look back at verse 4. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Why? Because kids can't get there on their own. Everything a dad does should be Christ's word and upward. Urgently, Paul says, bring them up. Nourish them to maturity. And he conveys here a responsibility of the father to actively and intentionally love and nurture and cherish his babies by displaying through his own life a dependence upon God. The very thing that we lead them to is the very thing that has won over us, Dad. The very thing that we pursue and give our lives to is to be displayed. For behavior flows from belief. Thus, Jesus is the standard and example for your home. He is the one that we lead our babies to. He is the one that we set our foundation on. He is the exclamation point of every activity inside and outside our home. For he is the standard and example. Now, you may be hearing saying, well, okay, then how do we bring them up then? How we bring them up is by lifting him up. By lifting him up. We are to parent with Jesus in mind. We are to parent with the end in mind. Dad, you are not preparing your kids for graduation day. Dad, you're not preparing your kids for their wedding day. Dad, you're not solely preparing their kids for an interview with some CEO executive from an Ivy League institution. You're not preparing them for their first job, their second job. You're not preparing them for the worst day or the best day. You are ultimately preparing them for the day to see Jesus face to face. And if you will prioritize that humbly and intentionally in your home, then God will naturally align all of these other things. Parent with the end in mind. Secondly, live out the gospel. Deal with sin immediately. Warning, this is wrong. The Lord will not bless this. It may have started as a good idea. It's not. Stop it immediately. And dads were to lead in this. Sin comes, we are to immediately deal with it. Secondly, we're to celebrate repentance. Praise God, you are changing your mind. That leads ultimately to a change of life. And that is not supposed to be in kind of this litmus test of, you know, 1 week, 2 week, 3 week, 3 month. No, it's immediate. Immediately. We praise God. I'm not saying there's not consequence for our kids' actions. What I'm saying, there should be a celebration for repentance. The moment they turn from this sin to Jesus, praise God. Live out the gospel. I think also ask for forgiveness. Man, have you ever asked forgiveness from your kids? Yikes. It's humbling. Kind of awkward. It's incredibly beneficial. It's a blessing every time. You ever sat down with an 8-year-old or a 6-year-old or even a 4-year-old and said, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And in the simplicity of your humility, God plants a seed of blessing. God sets a pattern and a trajectory of life. They said, wow, if my dad humbled himself and asked me for forgiveness, then who am I to stand in front of God, my Father, and not do the same? Live out the gospel. Show grace. Let your house be a house that is over full, filled of grace. Gosh, I look back at my household. I was the oldest of three. And the goodness of God through my parents, how in the world did they get through half the stuff that I put them through? Grace. Sorry. God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of my sin. I didn't just read that in the Bible. I saw it through my parents, and it changed my life. And you have the opportunity to do the same. They know what they did is wrong. How you react to that, Dad, tells them everything else they need to know. Live out the gospel. I think thirdly, do things together. And bring them up by lifting Jesus up. Do things together. Have date nights. One, have date nights with your spouse. Teach them biblically the difference. Yeah, she's your mom, she's my wife. There's a huge difference here. Huge. Honor and celebrate your spouse. But have date nights with them. Have ice cream nights. Okay? Have snow cone nights. Have Chick-fil-A nights. Whatever it is the Lord has blessed you with. Use it as a means to bless them. Have opportunities where you're gathering together as a family. Have family movie nights. And pop popcorn. Get an icy from QT. Live it up for a little bit. Enjoy this movie and this time. Whatever it is. Whatever the Lord's placed on your heart. Play games. Laugh. Learn. Love Jesus together. Have different themes throughout the week. Something you look forward to. You know, have taco Tuesdays. Have pizza Mondays. Have fried chicken Wednesdays. You get the point? Whatever it is. Have opportunities where you're gathering around your table. In fact, let me encourage you, you should be doing this 5 times a week. If you are not having dinner with your family at least 5 times a week at a certain place at a certain time, you're too busy. You've got too much going on. Sit down at a table. Have good food. And invite an even greater Savior. And allow the Lord to grow in and through your family by how He uses you. Have certain set times of the week where, man, you're doing fun stuff together. For me, you know, the best 21 minutes of my week a lot of times is playing wiffle ball in the driveway with my 10-year-old. So the girls and my 4-year-old are out there riding their scooters and the bikes, and man, it's a hot mess. It's a circus of epic proportions. We've probably been turned in to our local HOA, right? It is what it is. But it's the best 21 minutes of my week. Sun's about to go down. I've got a bucket of balls, and I'm hanging out with my kids, high-fiving, dropping bombs, enjoying one another in the Lord. Whatever that is for you, have that set time. Walk around the neighborhood together. Allow the world to see God's love through you and your family. High-five it, encouraging one another. Bring people into your home. Let them see that you're just as messed up as they are. Life is messy. Families are messy. But we've got a King who loves us and who has given those who need to be loved. Let's encourage and inspire others. I think finally, just love Jesus and have fun. Love Jesus. Dads, they need to see how much you love our King. They need to hear you pray. They need to see you reading your Bible. They need to see you struggling with the Bible. They need to be celebrating your ups and your downs. And they need to see, you know what? Jesus is enough. He's enough for me. And He's enough for you. Bring them up, Paul says, in 2 primary things. In the discipline and in the instruction of the Lord. Now, the words discipline and instruction are interdependent upon one another. They stress different aspects of the same process in systematically training your child. The word discipline here is appropriate correction or training of one's conduct. We are to show them, Paul says. The word instruction is to place or to put into their mind the way of the Lord. We are to tell about God's instruction. So we are to live it out, and we are to point again to God's Word, the Word of God, and thus the God of the Word. A dad is not just to tell their children what is wrong, but to show them what is right. A Spirit-filled father is entrusted and empowered by God. Dads, we can't do this in and of our own strength. We can't do this despite how disciplined we are, despite how dedicated we are, despite how structured. We need supernatural power to do these things. And God graciously fills us to feel them and to comprehensively train and to correct our children's conduct, to not trust in and of themselves, but to trust in the Lord. You see, a child's behavior, it flows from their heart. And a child's heart is not neutral. It will either love God or it will love self. God entrusts parents, dads, to instruct and train their children to be driven by the Scriptures and to cling and pursue and trust in solely Jesus Christ. Because it's Jesus alone that changes hearts. In fact, let me give you this little acronym as you walk out of here and do life. A child's heart is not neutral. It'll love God or self. So dad, here's three things we need to be watching. Number one, we need to discern and evaluate the heart. Objectively as possible, you need to be watching two things in your kids. One, their attitudes. How are they responding to content? Oh. Okay. It's all of those things. Their attitudes truly set their altitude to the Lord. It is an indicator of something else going on within their hearts. Secondly, you need to watch their actions like crazy. You need to watch their actions. Are they quick to obey? In our house, we obey the first time. Not the second time, not the third time. Delayed obedience is disobedience. You obey the first time. Watch them. Pray. Encourage and instruct. A child's heart is not neutral. They're loving God or they're loving self. Secondly, apply the Scriptures by living out the gospel. It's this word that will drive them to our King. Not sage advice. Not the tweet of the day. No, God's word. So Ben and I right now, we kind of have themes in our household. It's not something, you know, we do monthly, you know, a theme verse for every month. That's a great idea. If you do that, awesome. For us, it's just kind of seasons sometimes. So right now, a season for us is John 13, verse 35. Jesus says, so as I have loved you, you are to love one another. We're to love God most. We're to love Jesus first. From the overflow of that, if we're doing that, we will naturally place others above ourselves. It's really, really hard in a house of seven. Almost impossible. So daily, we are trying to apply the Scriptures, the Word of God, and thus allowing the God of the Word to be lived out in our lives. We are to be good news people in a bad news world. And we need a lot of good households, a lot of good news households to do this. So, your child's heart is not neutral. It's either going to love God or it's going to love self. Let's apply the Scriptures. Live out the gospel. Finally, don't waste a day. Don't waste a day. Make the most of every meal. Make the most of every meal. Use food as an opportunity, just as Jesus did, to point people to the real satisfier, to the ultimate giver. To God Himself. Use that dinner table as an opportunity to celebrate God's goodness. And you know what? The key to great parenting is good questions. Hey, how's your day? Okay, now really, how's your day? Hey, what are you thinking about? Hey, what are you struggling with? Who are you texting? Why are you on that thing all the time? I mean, what are you doing? What do you want to be? What do you keep thinking about? What is it that keeps you up at night? What is it that gets you up in the morning? Ask good questions and lead them to an even greater Savior. Don't waste a day. Don't waste a conversation. You know, if God puts something on your heart, say it. There's something unsettled, settle it. There's something that needs to be said, do it. Finally, don't waste a night. Dads, you're working your tails off.
You're providing for your families. You're building God's kingdom. To the best of your abilities, you're trying to raise these kids and grandkids that God's entrusted you with. You can't always handle how things start sometimes in your home. You just can't. It just kind of goes. But you can't handle how they end. And so if there's something unsettled, and for whatever reason it's not becoming final, do not end the day without praying for your babies. In fact, thank God for them in front of them. And you'll be amazed how something so small can make such a big impact in your child's heart. Let them hear and feel how overwhelmingly grateful to God you are for them. Raise them up. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see, where discipline here is to show, instruction is to tell. Put it in their minds, as I said earlier, as Paul says, the way of the Lord. Dads are to help teach and obey and apply the gospel as a way of life. The central purpose of parenting is taking our children deeper and deeper into the gospel, step by step, day by day, decision by decision. Fathers are to live out, teach diligently, obey continually, apply fervently the truths of the Gospels. And Dad, the clock's running. You get on average about 3,000 hours a year. And I can assure you, we've got dads from all walks of life here. 1 minute, it's never enough. If it's 3,000, it's never enough. It's about 8 hours a day. It goes just like that. You have an opportunity to make an impact that can last a lifetime, can change generations. What is your life teaching then? We are to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As you walk out of here and do life, oh man of God, can I implore you to just do a handful of things well? If you, for instance, were to take just 8 to 10 minutes a day, just 8 to 10 minutes, grab your Bible and read, you could read the entire New Testament with your children twice a year. Twice a year. If you were to take 15 minutes a day, you can get through the whole Bible in a year. 15 minutes a day. Now, I realize that may be a lot or that may be too much. So what about this? So the Jesus Storybook Bible. I think for even students that are in high school, beautiful pictures, eloquent story, tells the themes of Scripture in a creative, word-driven way. You can get through this 8 to 10 times a year. Your children will begin to identify the key themes in the Bible and connect them back to God's Word and thus live them out in their lives. If you were to take, for instance, and memorize just one verse a month, if you were to start when your child is 2, by the time they get to the 6th or 7th grade, they would have memorized 120 verses. If you were to keep compounding this, by the time they graduate high school and we have their senior day graduation and recognition, it's 192 verses. If you then intentionally connect them back to not just the books of the Bible, but apologetics and the themes of the Scriptures, what a testimony they will have as they walk out of here and do life from your house. You see, God gave you your children so you could give them to His Son. There'll be a lot of days coming. Good days and tough days. Blessed days and days of trial. There'll be graduations, wedding days, maybe even grandbaby days. Just get through parenting. Blessings coming, I assure you. But all of those are to prepare you for the day when they will be face to face with Jesus Christ. Dads, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And watch in amazement as you become the dad God desires you to be.